Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast, here to share how our ministry and partners are bringing the Great Commission to Iran and beyond. Coming up, we have Dr. Mike Ansari, president of Heart for Iran Ministries, along with Dr. Sasan Tavassoli, Mohabbat TV virtual church pastor, where they will be discussing Christ in the digital age and how we're fulfilling the Great Commission through technology.
Hello friends, my name is Mike and I would like to welcome you to Impact 32. These are a series of podcasts that we put together every month to bless you and keep you guys posted on the latest and the greatest of God's amazing work in places like Iran and Afghanistan and the region. And Heart for Iran, as you know, is a ministry, a partnership platform that is composed of over 100 different resource and ministry partners. And the hero are the ministry partners that we work with. And in this topic, in this particular program, we have an expert on Iranian digital church with us, Dr. Sasan Tavassoli. Pastor Sasan, welcome to Impact 32. Today, we are going to be talking about Christ in the digital age, fulfilling the Great Commission through technology. And I would like to introduce Pastor Sasan to you briefly. Pastor Sasan is one of the pastors of Mohabbat Virtual Church and a close ministry partner and a dear friend. Sasan has been producing teaching programs on Christian satellite TVs for the past 16 years. He is also one of the co-founders and lecturers at Pars Theological Center, where he has been involved in online theological education. Reverend Tavassoli is an ordained Presbyterian minister. He graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary and received his PhD from the University of Birmingham in UK. Sasan, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, my dear Mike. Thank you. You are a great friend and a dear ministry partner. It's my honor to be your guest. And I hope I don't disappoint you and the audience today with my comments. I am always honored with the way you introduce me. I don't claim to be an expert, but I have lived my life and my ministry in the context of digital world for the past 16 years. So I am honored to be part of this conversation with you and other friends.
So to give a reference to our audience, prior to COVID-19, in 2019, rather, Pastor Sasan, he started leading a virtual church platform into Iran. And when 6 months after that, when COVID hit, that platform was one of the leading platforms that already was in place to bring hope to the people of Iran that were dealing with COVID. So throughout these past few years, Pastor Sasan has seen the ups and downs of using technology for ministry. So I'm going to start with the first question. Is there a place, Pastor Sasan, for a Christ-centered theology in media and technology?
There is a place for Christ-centered theology in every human activity and aspect of human culture and civilization. Because of your invitation to come to this program and to speak at other events in a few days, I've been doing a lot of reading, Mike, on theological reflections of digital media. I've been very blessed as I've been reflecting and reading on what we've been practicing at Mohabbat and in other digital platforms. I want to affirm that, let me first say this. You know, I usually speak in American churches and tell them Jesus is running around loose in Iran and many parts of the Middle East. A lot of American Christians don't know about it and they get excited about it. But one of the ways in which Jesus is at work in Iran and many parts of the Muslim world is through media technology. Satellite TV, online platforms, apps are spiritually revolutionizing Iran and many parts of the Islamic world. So yes, Jesus is the sovereign Lord of even media technology. So media technology, like all technologies, are a gift from God. Christian theology has always affirmed that God has given humanity wisdom. We are made in God's image. We have minds. We have brains. We can creatively think, imagine, invent. So we need to celebrate inventions in technology, including media technology, as gifts from God. At the same time, we need to critique the idolatries produced by technology. Because of human sinfulness, oftentimes the technology is used for evil purposes. As Christians, we want to stand against that. And so we need to lean into an incarnational and wise way of approaching media technology. And so how can we wisely, maturely, from a Christian perspective, use media technology? No technology is neutral. It's not just a tool. It also impacts our character, our culture, our attitudes and values. But with Christian wisdom, with the wisdom from the Spirit and the Scriptures, we can wisely use and benefit from media technology, including spreading the gospel. And Mike, I will quickly end my answer to your first question. As you know, I love books, and in our upcoming conference, Heart for Iran conference, I will introduce more books. But two wonderful books that have helped me in my thinking in regard to your first question. One book is called God, Technology, and the Christian Life. Okay. God, Technology, and the Christian Life. The author's name is Tony Reinke, I believe. And then the other book, which has just come out in a revised edition, and I just ordered it on Amazon and is supposed to arrive at my house. This is the older edition. It's called From Garden to the City, The Redeeming and Corrupting Power of Technology. John Dyer is the author of this book. Wonderful books that provide, for those who want to pursue this topic in more depth, these two books would be great resources.
So, Son, I want to ask you a quick question. If technology was available during the time of Jesus, do you think Jesus would be harnessing the power of social media and technology? This is just a personal question.
No, I do. I do. And Jesus' apostles used technology. You know, the apostles wrote letters. They wrote epistles. Right. That was the technology of the day. Right. That was the way to communicate with people who were not in their presence. So, these are tools to advance God's kingdom. Yes,
I really think so, too. So that brings us to this next question. One of the core visions and values of what you are doing in through media and Mahabad TV is to see the fulfillment of Great Commission. How do you fulfill the Great Commission through technology?
Speaking to the Western audience, this is what I want to communicate in response to your question. An average Muslim in Iran, in Afghanistan, in many parts of the Islamic world, has no access to a church,
right?
No access to Christian friends, no access to a Bible. Why is this spiritual revolution happening now in our time? Is because for the first time in the history of the encounter between the gospel and the Islamic world, a Muslim family can sit in the safety of their own homes and watch Christian programs, gospel-oriented programs on satellite TV like Mohabbat TV, without any access to a Bible, Christian friends, or a church. For the first time, a Muslim person can access Christian resources on the web. They can access, you know, they can connect with Christian friends for prayer and encouragement on various apps. So they can access the scriptures on their cell phones. So this is new. This is new in human history, and that's how Mohabbat TV and the digital team at Mohabbat is reaching the Muslim, Persian-speaking Muslim population in Iran, in Afghanistan, around the world in diaspora through media technology.
So, Sam, why don't you, if you don't mind, dissect that a little bit for our listeners and our audience. How do you personally work to bring the gospel to believers with what you're doing at Heart for Iran and Mohabbat TV?
One thing we do, we have our Iranian church. We have the Persian-speaking church every Thursday, 9 p.m. Tehran time. Again, our American brothers and sisters who are watching this, it is amazing that when we have our online church every Thursday, that has been happening for the past 3 years without a single break, in our live worship service, we have Iranian believers from Melbourne, Australia, from all over Iran and Afghanistan, refugees in Turkey, people, immigrants all over Europe, UK, Canada, all the way to Vancouver in our live worship service.
Wow.
Many, many Iranian and Afghan Muslims are watching our church service, you know, preaching the gospel, singing beautiful worship songs, being prayed for. They are isolated believers with no access to a Christian community. And the online church at Mohabbat is reaching them where they're at, and also reaching Iranians in diaspora. Some of them might be part of a local church. Some of them, because of language, cultural barriers, are not connected to a local church. So online church is one aspect of our outreach. Satellite TV programs that we produce, and they're broadcast into Iranian homes. I have heard some, you know, we all hear, you know, my programs are usually teaching programs, but as I travel, I hear testimonies of people who've come to faith as a result of the programs I've produced on satellite television. So that's another aspect. We connect with homes. And so, yes.
Go ahead.
No.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but what I'm hearing, I heard two key phrases from you that I think is front and center in this ministry. Number one is isolated believers. The technology, what you're telling us is able to build a bridge, a global bridge, rather, between the Muslims that are in diaspora or live in their own home countries like Iran or Afghanistan. But then you also mentioned that for quite a few of these, this is their first church, their only church.
Yes.
So when you bring these people together, the goal is to bring, it's like a funnel. People come and hear the gospel and the scripture. But then what are some ways that you are able to disciple these people, these new believers, through online education?
Yeah, again, this is not just me. We have a wonderful digital team at Mohabbat, but people who connect with Mohabbat through online church, other digital platforms, there are counselors who meet with them, who visit with them online, one-on-one, pray for them. There are digital groups that meet for Bible study, meet for discipleship, have communion on a regular basis. And so we've also launched a new initiative. We're in a Zoom platform. People are coming on Tuesdays for discussion and group discussions over a topic led by another brother. So I am very proud to be just one member of a larger team where we... it's not just somebody preaching to a general audience, but there is more interaction in a community context. And we need to do more of that. We are also developing a wonderful new curriculum for discipleship for new believers, put together by a number of very brilliant, experienced Iranian pastors. And so that's another resource we are going to be introducing soon. But the aim isn't just to preach the gospel or just, you know, preach the scriptures and just be, you know, say that's the end of our work. That's the beginning of our work. The aim is to develop a relationship. And many times we also encourage people to connect with a local house church, wherever they're at, local church, if they're outside of Iran. We always have said, Mike, from day one, in all our TV programs, in the online church, our platform is not a competition with a local church if there is access to a local church.
Wow.
It's just an additional resource for the spiritual growth of a believer.
So, Sam, we see that after COVID, a lot of ministries that would not otherwise be on this, on using technology or be online, mm-hmm. are finding themselves, even some reluctantly, are now online. But what I think the takeaway from your last point is that if you have an engagement platform, an online church or online ministry, you need to make sure that you fine-tune it so you could also bring people that are more focused onto wanting to become discipled and be future leaders. So you need to provide that opportunity. Now, some people are still on the fence, Sasan, and they're saying, well, technology is such a worldly thing. You have immediate access to porn, to all different things. So I guess this question that came up is how can we be in the world but not of the world when it comes to the realm of technology?
Big question, and it's not fair to put a big question to me with a 2-minute answer.
Take your time, give us an answer.
That's what I said. We not only celebrate the gifts of technology, we critique the idolatries of technology. Right. And the idolatries of technology is not just porn. The idolatries of technology, media technology, social media stuff, is self-centered view of relationships, shallow relationships, consumerism, that I just connect. I like people who like me, and just this, the false ego and the pride and all the comparisons and shame wrapped up with all the Instagram pictures people post of themselves. So there's a lot to criticize about social media and modern technology. But then how do we move wisely and incarnationally as Christians into the reality created by media technology? The point is, whether we like it or not, that's where we are in our world. We cannot get rid of this technology. It's here to stay. The young people, it's part of their life. Older people like me, we still view relationships as online relationships and offline relationships. For the young generation, it's all one thing. They are interconnected. They don't divide their relationships and friendships between online and real world. It's all one part. And Jesus is where people are at. And the church needs to show up where people are spending time. Just today, Mike, Christianity Today had an article entitled, I have it on my phone, entitled Opening the Digital Door. Opening the Digital Door. Wow. One of the questions that I've learned from these books I've been reading is, Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. Now we have a lot of digital neighbors. Who is a digital neighbor? And what is my responsibility to that digital neighbor? My responsibility is to use the digital platform to create fellowship and relationships, not to use digital technology as a means to just have a shallow relationship and shallow facade. We have many friends on Facebook, but we are dying in our loneliness. Right. But if we can wisely use technology to actually make ourselves vulnerable to a select few people in an online relationship, get to know them, let them get to know us, we can have real fellowship, we can have accountability, we can pray for each other, we can help each other even sometimes. I have so many examples, Mike. I'd like to share that in our upcoming conference. I was just with a beautiful couple, some of my dearest friends, last week when I was in the Middle East. They were leaving for Canada after 8 years of living as refugees. I have been part of their lives for the past 5 years, prayed with them, counseled them, supported them financially, helped them out in difficult situations. They came to say goodbye to me at the hotel I was staying. I had only seen them in person 2 times.
Oh, wow.
The rest of our relationship developed deep and very spiritual through online connections. That's the world we live in. And a lot of our brothers and sisters in the West don't understand the experience of persecuted Christians in Muslim worlds who are living in isolation. They cannot be in open relationship with other Christians in a church. And they also, many of them, do not understand sometimes or have an experience living in diaspora. The Iranian Christian community is all around the world. So we need to use the media to keep in touch with each other, to be a neighbor to each other through media technology. Sorry, I started to preach. Passionate about it.
This is actually very exciting because I'm going to go off script now and I'm going to ask you a question. We have about a couple of minutes left, so let's keep things between those 2 minutes. But I'm going to ask you a question that probably is going to require hours of talking about. You talked about being neighborly. You talked about responsibility of being online. You know, the Iranian church right now is going through some ups and downs and challenges where we're seeing that some people are taking onto social media and online to voice their disagreements to certain theology or other things. And quite often through social media, what does is not reflected is grace. Mm-hmm. What we see is a lot of hostility mm-hmm. that can potentially lead to character assassination, and it could hurt the church more. So can you tell us a little bit about what is in your heart about this, and as far as personal responsibility of using technology when you want to talk about disagreements or theology or anything else. You have a couple of minutes, brother.
No, great question. And Mike, this has been on my heart for the past few weeks in a very, very deep and engaging way. I believe, like Mohabbat, what Mohabbat has done in the past few years, in addition to our presence on satellite TV, a lot of mature Christian leaders need to get a lot more engaged on social media platforms, you know, because there are a lot of younger generation of believers on social media platforms, and they have not had good role models, good guidance, good mentors. How do we speak to each other in a mature Christian way? My message in our online church yesterday was inspired by Francis Schaeffer's book, The Mark of a Christian, that the one thing Jesus tells us in John 13, how will the world know that we are his disciples? Not if we argue with each other to death, not right. If we just memorize Bibles and beat each other up with Bibles. The world will know we are his disciples if we love one another. And in John 17, in his priestly prayer, Jesus says, the world will know the Father has sent the Son if you are one with another. Our love and unity, Jesus tells us, proves to the world that we are his disciples, that the gospel is true. Not our debates, not our, you know, all the other things sometimes we're busy right. with. So all of this to say, very quickly, we need to be, as the leaders, the mature Christian leaders, need to model how to have civil conversations and disagreements on social media platforms. We need to engage the younger generation more and more with proper theology, with proper Christian virtues and character. So it opened my eyes that social media, we need to become a lot more intentional and more engaged to reach, to help with discipling the growing church. So I've even become more convinced of that in the recent weeks.
Powerful friends, you have been listening to a podcast, Impact 32, with Dr. Sasanta Vassoli. The topic of today was Christ in the Digital Age, Fulfilling the Great Commission Through Technology. Dr. Sasan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I want to summarize real fast with a couple of takeaways. Number one, if Jesus was here, he would definitely be using technology. That's one takeaway. Number two, there is an opportunity for us to be able to provide even the first church experience, first fellowship, using technology to isolated believers. And then there's a great deal of responsibility for us to use this platform in a responsible, constructive way, both towards the group of people that are seekers to hear the good news, and then also within the church that is growing and thriving. Before we bid our listeners goodbye, if there's anything else that you want to share with our audience, the floor is yours for about 30 seconds.
Jesus is transforming Iran and many other parts of the Islamic world in our generation. He's fulfilling his promise that he will build his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he is using modern media technology as one of the means by which he's accomplishing that purpose. It's an exciting time, and I hope the church in the West can fully engage, pray, and support this effort.
Friends, we invite you to follow our podcast, Impact 32, on various podcast platforms. Visit our website, heartsforiran.com. And if you need to get in touch with us, go ahead and send us an email, info@heartsforiran.com. Dr. Sasan, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time and joining us. And we bid you all farewell.